Welcome to this podcast of Armstrong Chapel. I'm lead pastor David Brown. It's a blessing to be with you today, to share the inspiration in these moments, and to be uplifted by the power and love of Christ. Enjoy this message.
Two scriptures that set our framework today for worship. The first is out of Romans, and Paul speaks to us of the distinct difference between the flesh and the spirit. To set the mind on the flesh, that's death. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh, it's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8, 6 through 11. The second is but a brief glimpse of a longer passage in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel tells this vision. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he sat me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6. We've been in a journey this Lenten season in the nature of prayer. And I recognize every so often I find my life in a season in which prayer becomes more obligatory, more should and ought than it is grounded in the Word of God. And at times I find myself just praying dry prayers. Yet in the midst of the passage of Scripture, particularly out of Ezekiel, you and I hear an amazing promise of the Spirit of God. I love the image because here is this poor prophet minding his own business, just going about doing God's work and will, and all of a sudden, God takes him to a valley full of bones. Not just bones, very dry bones. Oh, talk about problem. Nature number one, dry bones. Every now and then, our family would gather around a dinner table. We'd be quick. Okay, let's pray. God is great. God is good. And we thank you for our food. By his hands, we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Amen. Let's eat. Right? Sort of an obligatory prayer experience. Every now and then, we instituted a new rule in our family because even with the obligatory prayer, there were those who still got ahead of the program. So we instituted this rule. The first person that eats before the prayer has to say the prayer.
Oh, it was a great trick.
Got more people in my family to pray than would have ever volunteered. And here they were. Oh, you're the prayer. Thanks. And off we'd go. Okay, maybe it was still a routine prayer, but at times they expanded their vision of what prayer might be. I was with a group of very amazing clergy, leaders of our annual conference, and we were gathered together in one of these great meetings, strategic visionary moments of the life of the church, and we were gathered together with the bishop from Mexico and the Church of Mexico and the partnership that we were trying to form between the West Ohio Conference and the Church of Mexico. And we were talking about that, and several of our conference leaders were all excited about the work that we had ahead of us. And just as that meeting began, the Bishop of West Ohio said, we should pray. And we prayed. And as soon as that prayer was over with, we immediately moved into this series of presentations of speakers. And these speakers had strategic ideas, and they identified things that may be obstacles and hurdles that we'd have to overcome, but no problem. We think we've got this figured out, and we know where the money's coming, and we know where this is going, and we know this, and we know that. And that went on for about 2.5 hours, and it was really, really good, clear up until the bishop from Mexico leaned forward and said, when are we going to read the scripture? Oops. All the conference leaders, everybody in that room just fell silent. Because strangely enough, our obligatory, oh, let's pray and then let's tell God everything God needs to do for us so that we can build his kingdom on earth, just got turned upside down because of this wonderful bishop that said, it all starts and ends with the word of God. Did you hear in Ezekiel's passage, say to these dry bones, the word of the Lord. Ezekiel was called to speak and utter. We discover in our lives individuals who've been moved by the Holy Spirit, called from season to season to enrich their life and to bear witness to their faith. In the mid-1500s, there was a gentleman known as Ignatius. And Ignatius was an incredible guy who later became Saint Ignatius. And if you don't know much about him, you ought to look him up because he had this wonderful way of calling the church in a very dynamic season of the church. It was that period of the late 1400s to 1500s, when the church was in major renewal. The Catholic Church had been challenged by Martin Luther, and the Protestant Reformation was breaking all around. There was this crazy thing called the printing press. You ever heard of one? And all of a sudden, the Word of God that used to be kept secret in the back only at a little church building, was now being printed over and over and over again, and people were able to carry it with them to their homes and have the Word of God with them, and it was being published in their own language. That was revolutionary at the time. This Ignatius has two amazing phrases that he has at times now spoken for our edification, for us to understand. Pray as if everything depends on God, but work
as if everything depends on you. And then secondly, love ought to show itself best by deeds rather than words. Oh, Ignatius is calling us to move from a season of dry prayers to a season of living hope, to discover, like the writer of Ezekiel, there's two distinct moments in this passage where God will cause breath to come upon the dry bones. God will breathe upon them the breath. Breath, you see, in the Hebrew language is ruah, which is the Old Testament word for wind or spirit. The life-giving hope of God moving, animating our lives, transforming us, calling us to pray prayers of living, vital hope. Maybe prayers like the one Jesus utters in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, an interesting prayer for the Son of God to pray to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but thine be done." A call to us that our lives of prayer won't just simply be a rote moment, but will be a living expression where we surrender ourselves and we no longer tell God what God needs to do to fix our brokenness or to fix our world, but we'll let the breath of God animate us so that the transformation might truly be God's. Back in the early 90s, I served a church over in Amelia, and we had a traveling group that did these little vignette plays, dramas in worship, and they were wonderful and they were dynamic, but one of their exchanges still stays with me to this day. It was an act in which the individual came up and knelt in the middle of the altar area and began to utter the words of the Lord's Prayer. I really don't recall all of the drama and its specifics, but there were a couple key points that just kept jumping out at me, and I remember them to this day. The opening of that little drama was this person saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then from the back, over a booming voice of the microphone, "This is God, and I've heard you use my name in places, and with other words, you shouldn't use my name. Thanks for remembering today you're to hallow it." Ooh. Caught that one. Then later he's going and he says each of these phrases, and each time that booming voice stops him in the middle of the prayer to try and reinterpret what for us at times is a dry prayer to a living one, to make us really think. And there's that central moment right in the Lord's Prayer where the person says, "And I forgive those who've trespassed against me, as I've been forgiven." Are you serious? The voice booms again. Are you really serious? You're forgiving others because you wait for the perfect apology, because you want the right act of, "Oh, I'm sorry. Please help me. Please this. Please. Excuse me. I forgave you with that gift of grace. Won't you forgive others in that same grace?" That's what you just prayed. It was a wonderful reminder, because for each of us, prayer is not merely a moment that we just find ourselves saying to God what we think God wants to hear, but prayer becomes that invitation that we say, "God, fill us, cause your spirit to come upon us, Fill our hearts and our lives to overflowing, because this prayer is about the Spirit of God who speaks truth and life among us, that gives us vision and hope. Where once there was death, now there's life. Where once there was no hope, now there is hope. Remember those Old Testament images? There was that guy by the name of Abraham and Sarah. When she heard in her old age she was to have a baby, she laughed at God. Right, I'm going to have a baby. Along comes Isaac. Then there's that moment with a guy by the name of Moses. Go with your brother Aaron to Pharaoh. Say to Pharaoh, I want my people to come worship me in prayer for 3 days in the wilderness. But be careful what you pray for. I'll reinterpret that act of Pharaoh, but he said, over my dead body. Be careful. Because after the plagues happened, then there was the death of all the firstborn in Egypt. And the children of Israel left, not for 3 days, but they left to go worship God, and they spent 40 years wandering with God in the wilderness till they moved into the promised land. And then there was that group of disciples who stayed with Jesus till the very end. You remember them? Oh, yeah. They were the 12 that when he was arrested and when he was crucified are nowhere to be found. And they hide up in upper rooms. And every now and then his spirit keeps showing up, calling them to leave those rooms and to get out and do his mission and ministry. And then on one day, there's this crazy group of Christians gathered together early in the morning to pray. Remember them? We call it the day of Pentecost. And when they were in that room and they were praying, the Holy Spirit came upon them as of tongues of fire. And it released for them a living hope. And everybody heard in their own native tongue the message of the gospel. That's something only Spirit can do. No human translating app can even come close. This is God's Spirit filling the church, calling the church to renewal and blessing, not because we profess it, but because God professes it to us and in us. May our prayers be living prayers filled with that hope that even when there is death, even death on a cross, God's Spirit calls to life and gives us hope. That even when we die to sin, we rise with Christ. Amen.
You know, Pastor David talking about these dry prayers, I think sometimes I was talking about how worship is just, the singing is just a prayer to God. I think we can sing dry songs sometimes. We get used to them, especially the more familiar ones as we sing them more. They lose that newness. You know, it says in Psalms, sing a new song to the Lord. That doesn't just mean sing new songs. That means sing songs as if they're new in your heart, as a prayer to God. I encourage you, as we sing these songs, and even the real familiar ones, take a moment and stop and really think about what you're saying to the Lord and what you're praying to the Lord, because I think you'll get that renewed spirit of prayer that Pastor David's talking about. We are going to close with this last song. Why don't you stand with us? I thought this was fitting with the baptism, you know, bringing in two more people into the church family. But let's be real; they were already part of God's family. We were already brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were God's daughter and His son. So let's sing about that this morning.
Thank you. baseball creation. The God of heaven knew our names. Formed in his reflection, we are his glory on display. And his heart is good, he is always kind. With the cross he proved, he is on my side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father. Sons, we are the daughters of God. His love he lavished on us and called us children of the King. And in his loving kindness, he chose. His heart is good, he is always kind. With the cross he proved, he is on my side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. When the lies speak louder than the truth, remind me I belong to you. And when I can't see past the dark of night, remind me you're always by my side.
today as we share together, we rejoice in God's Spirit that's among us. There's a special little reception here in the back for Aiden and Felicia. Pick up a cupcake or some cheese and crackers and some fruit and rejoice with them today. Also, make note on the one handout that you pick up that has the announcements. There's a special little word that we're in a transition around our position for facilities manager. We're blessing Robert for his time of service among us and what God will work out for he and Deb as they move forward, but we're looking to fill that role. If you need to know about that role and know somebody who maybe fits doing that 20 hours a week, have them check out the role description. It's at the website under the pretty pull down called employment. Doesn't that make sense, Bill? Right there, you just pull that down. You find the description. You let me know if you're interested or need to answer questions. We'd love to talk to you about that as well. But as we go today, hear these words of a gentleman by the name of St. Patrick. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Keep working, for God is with us. The Spirit reminds you and is living among you. So do not be afraid. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing in these special moments, Armstrong Chapel. We pray that God will surround you in these moments. You'll share with family and friends. You'll care for one another as we look forward to joining again next week. God bless.